Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSB Magazine. Let's face it, the future is now. We're living in a connected cyber society, and we need to stop ignoring it or pretending that it's not affecting us. Join us as we explore how humanity arrived at this current state of digital reality and what it means to live amongst so much technology and data. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Black Cloak provides concierge cybersecurity protection to corporate executives and high net worth individuals to protect against hacking, reputational loss, financial loss, and the impact of a corporate data breach. Learn more at blackcloak.io. RSA Security offers business-driven security solutions that provide organizations with a unified approach to managing digital risk that hinges on integrated visibility, automated insights, and coordinated actions. Learn more at rsa.com.
Marco.
Sean, you ready for a good conversation?
I'm always ready for a good conversation, and it's always a treat to have somebody back on the show that we've had on before, and this time bringing a guest with her to educate us more on all the things taking place in Africa, in Nigeria specifically.
And that's a good sign. You know why? Because she enjoyed the conversation and she was so excited about it that she brought a friend. So I'm actually happy to always bring you people on the show, on the podcast. And in this case, Sean, we're talking about redefining society. And it's a big world, and technology is part of it. It's part of everything we do. And also is starting maybe a little late, but we're getting there to be part of policy making and the way that society, citizens, and legal and regulation are part of it. So it's a big conversation. It's a global conversation, but we're starting in a specific place, and exactly in Nigeria.
Yeah, complex topic, and I'm excited to dig into this, and thrilled to have Amanda back on, and with her, she's bringing Tim. Let's get a little insight into who they are. So Amanda, if you could say a few words about what you're up to and then pass the ball to Tim, that would be fantastic.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Marco and Sean. I'm so happy to be on board the ITSP Magazine podcast once more. My name is Amanda Obidike and I'm from Lagos, Nigeria. I serve as a strategy lead for STEMI Makers Africa. That's a nonprofit organization focused on driving STEM education across sub-Saharan Africa. I also serve on the management team and a policy fellow of the Nigerian Global Affairs Council, which I would be so happy to, you know, share more about what we do, why we do it, and our milestones so far. So thank you so much, Marco and Sean.
Thanks, Amanda. And Tim.
All right. Thank you, Marco. Thank you, Sean. I'm Tim Mobilo. I'm from Lagos, Nigeria. All right. I'm an engineer, mechanical engineer. I'm working in the private sector, you know, but I also work with NIGAC, which is the Nigerian Global Affairs Council. I work as a policy fellow, and I also serve on the editorial board, you know, reviewing policy briefs and policy insights that other policy fellows send into the fellowship, you know, and it's lovely to be on this platform to discuss policy, social awareness, social innovation, and all that. Thank you once again.
Well, thank you for being part of this. And you just already outlined all the things that we like to talk about, and the way that technology and policy and security and all of that beautiful things come to interact with everyday people, the citizen, the people that live in our society. And I want to start by learning a little bit of how this organization, the Nigerian Global Affairs Council, came together. But I also want to start with a quote that I found on your website, which is, from the president and founder, Eldad David, I see, and it says that is about being a part of the solution rather than complain about the problem. And I think this is an absolutely excellent quote. So let's start from there. Like, how all of you part of this organization are part of a solution, and what was that problem to start with? Maybe Amanda want to take it to get going.
Yeah, sure. So first things first, Nigeria is a very complex nation, in as much as we have wonderful people, you know, doing amazing things in the continent. You know, they call us the Big Brother of Africa because, you know, once you talk, we talk about economy, you talk about security, you talk about certain kind of abundance, you have it in Nigeria. Because, for example, we have quite a lot of mineral resources that you don't randomly get to see in other countries. So in as much as we are a complex nation, we have seen certain kind of bad governance and unaccountability happen over the years. And, you know, NIGAC was a platform, was an initiative, you know, coming together and focusing on policy concerns that revolve around, you know, governance, transparency, accountability, and simplifying these policies for young people, for simplifying it to citizens so that they know their rights, they know how to go about it, they know what to do. So that was how NIGAC, you know, came about. And we don't just, you know, speculate, you know, bring out these things. We go according to, we go by research, we bring in evidence, we get out policies, we try to assess whether the civil service or whether the government, you know, bringing out these documents, bringing out this information to, and giving access to this information to citizens. So that's how NIGAC came about. We decided to solve a problem, an existing problem that we have seen, unfortunately, mar our identity or our image to the outside world. And, you know, that was how we came about NIGAC.
Well, that's great, Amanda. I think what I'd like to know, because policy is such a big thing, and Tim, I'm gonna look to you for some insight here. What are some of the things that you're working on? Is it policy for construction, policy for technology, policy for public service? What are the things that you're most involved with, and how do those get identified and managed? Is it the think tank comes together and says these are the things that are most pressing and this is why, or how does that all come together?
All right, thank you. Thank you for the question. So in Nigeria, currently there are a number of policy issues that affect the everyday citizen, and it ranges from health to power to education, security, technology, you name it. And we find out that because policies form the basic framework by which every citizen is governed, it's necessary for us to be able to address every possible policy concern, you know, that we can address. So we don't necessarily take only one aspect of policy, for example, tech or just education. No, we try to cover a very broad spectrum. And I'm going to mention a policy tracker project which the NIGAC has undertaken, which I'm also part of. Now, sometime last year, when the COVID-19 virus broke out, so the NIGAC decided to undertake a project called the Policy Tracker Project. Now, this project was aimed at monitoring and evaluating a policy that the federal government of Nigeria rolled out, you know, during the outbreak of the virus, of the pandemic. Now, this policy is called the National Economic Sustainability Project Policy, rather. And this policy was meant to provide a means of alleviating the sufferings, you know, that the COVID-19 and other factors had brought to Nigerians. Now, this policy looked at health, looked at agriculture, looked at business, looked at technology, and then the several other aspects of policy. So what I was able to do in collaboration with other fellows of the fellowship was to look at this project and pick out the policies, looking at the policy instruments, monitor them, evaluate them for success. What are their outcomes? How far are they faring? You know, and so that's just one way that we've been able to spread our tentacles across different policies, you know, so that we can be able to pass some meaning, give some relevance to Nigerians, you know, under the current situations.
Amanda, can you tell me what the purpose is of the policy work you're doing? Who is it for?
So, for example, we have a couple of initiatives that, you know, we have designed to ensure that we serve as like a knowledge panel or like an in-between between the government, for example, and citizens. For example, we have this initiative called the National Virtual Policy Dialogue. It is a platform where we bring in special advisors to governments, political analysts. We also brought in a past presidential candidate who is Professor Patu Tomi on a dialogue where we ask them very crucial questions. Questions that we know that these are the concerns of citizens, but you know they don't get to access them easily. So we brought them, you know, on a platform where we invited people, we invited them, and people got to ask them questions. They also got to share valued insights that a typical Nigerian or an average Nigerian is not aware of. So we ensure that these, the voices of citizens, for example, are being heard, their concerns are being addressed. There is also another one that we did recently, and we intentionally had to involve all policy fellows across each state to get involved in the review of the 1999 constitution. It was a public hearing that they had in different geopolitical zones of Nigeria because, you know, we've had issues time and time again on having to redefine or remodify our 1999 constitution. So it was a way of, you know, going into these corridors, lending our voices, sharing our observations, and at the end of the day, sharing these public reports to the management team and seeing how we can design something as an outcome or as an instrument to, you know, to table to the government one day probably and say that these are our observations.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. And one thing that, Tim, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm getting this sense of people actually being truly involved with this. Many times we hear there is the government that is trying to do something, but maybe the businesses are not so receptive. Sometimes are the business or the academy that is trying to do something, but the government is not so receptive. And this, sometimes we read this thing around the world. It sounds to me that the community, the society is really coming together there in Nigeria. Is that something that I'm just my impression, or is it really like that where people participate into this?
Well, thank you for that question. Well, there seems to be a broader acceptance now of the fact that things need to change with the advent of social media. So there's plenty of information around. Nigerians are no longer docile, are no longer unaware. So you have many Nigerians beginning to think of the way forward. And so when the average Nigerian can see a scheme like what we are doing, they see that they have a part to play. So yes, there's the aspect of many Nigerians buying into this idea. Also, we don't necessarily antagonize the government. And we are very neutral in our stance, in our outreaches to the government and to the citizens. So that's why we are also able to get the government, you know, to be on our side, because basically, like Amanda said, we are like a pipe in between the citizens and the government. So we don't necessarily have to antagonize government. So we stand at a very unique position where we are able to bring government to the table. We are also able to bring the average Nigerian citizen to the table to foster a way forward, to see how we can better the lives of Nigerians, because ultimately government is meant to better the life of the people, right? And that is what, you know, we stand for. So yes, there seems to be an increasing awareness and an increasing acknowledgement of the work we are doing and of the values that we represent, both to the government and to the fellow Nigerian.
And that's wonderful. I absolutely love to hear that, because like I was saying in the question, in many other places, I feel like when I talk to other people or other organizations, they're still struggling. And I understand it's not all, you know, it's no summer and flowers there. I'm sure you have to work really hard. And in order to do this, and maybe Tim, you can keep going with this, or Amanda can bring in her perspective, the importance of your organization to be part of an entire network of similar organization in other states, in other location in Africa, as well as connected with similar initiative around the world. Because in the end, we know that when we are on social media, when we are connected devices on the internet, IoTs and so on, we're all part of the same reality.
So the work we are currently doing, the main focus is on Nigerians. Right. And but like you said, there needs to be an outreach, a reaching out to other similar minded platforms, similar minded schemes, not just in Nigeria, but in West Africa and in other parts of the world. And social media has been able to bridge that gap, has been able to bridge that connect. You know, we've seen in several countries where social media is used to galvanize support for an awareness, support for a policy, support for, you know, a feeling of the people, you know. So we are currently trying to use the social media to galvanize support, to galvanize collaborations from other similar minded platforms. Also, I'm aware that we are trying to seek partnership with some foreign institutions. I'm sure Amanda could provide more insight, you know, to that, because she's on the management team. You know, we are currently seeking partnerships with some foreign institutions so that we can see how we can bring the Nigerian story out, you know, so that it's not just something local, but we can tell people in Nigeria that, hey, look, we are doing something that's going beyond just the shores of Nigeria, but going outside, you know, to the global world, like the world is becoming. Amanda, please.
Okay, yes, thank you, Tim. So for one thing, we have this knowledge exchange conclave that we began. It's a way of educating the average Nigerian. So for example, we have this, we want to demystify and, you know, counter certain kind of narrative where everything happens, you blame the government. Now, that's awesome, right? It's about holding them accountable. But we also are letting them know who exactly you should be responsible for. Because, for example, Nigeria is a federal system where we have the local government, we have the state government, we have the federal government. So it's about giving them this better orientation, giving them the skills, giving them the knowledge and expertise, you know, on these various forms of government and policy topics and issues. So that's for one. Then secondly, we have been designing this initiative where we want to, you know, display all of, you know, our findings, the instruments that we've been able to, you know, gather from policies, and let the world know that we are holding this government accountable. We are standing on the corridors of, you know, simplifying these policy issues and designing strategies, you know, for existing problems. For one thing, I started this under the management team of, you know, picking out different challenging topics or problems and discussing about it. So it could be like a 3-minute video or 5-minute video where I'm shedding better light on it. So it's not like I'm saying things in favor of the government or saying things in favor of the people, but about bringing in these statistics, letting people know that this is actually what the problem is and this is how we can solve it. On the other hand, generally, we've been talking to a lot of media partners in Nigeria and seeing them come on board for our virtual policy dialogues, because right now we are gaining traction in it. For example, the last time we brought in the the Surulere constituent chairman, which was Desmond Elliott. We brought in like a past president, presidential candidate and all. So all these people are doing amazing. So it's a way of, you know, we are really attracting the citizens and saying, okay, these people are really bringing in these people that are figureheads that we need to ask them questions. And we've been seeing kind of a lot of good reactions to it. A lot of people want to come on board, interact with these policy makers, for example, ask them questions, hold them accountable. So in short of what I'm saying is we are directing this social media wise. We are also directing it government wise by inviting these phenomenal people to come on board and, you know, share their views, you know, so that, you know, the citizens can have access to this understanding or what they have been doing down the pipeline.
Yeah, I love that. And one thing I want to know, and I don't know if who can help me get this visual of what's happening, but there's a saying, if you can't beat them, join them. And I know you have the Public Policy and Governance Institute, which is, it seems to be about helping people find careers in this. So the best way to help solve a problem is to get people involved. And what better way is than to be part of the solution. So can you tell me about that institute and the work you're doing with that?
Yeah, so I understand, you know, the rhetoric and, you know, the narration of if you can't beat them, join them. It's really easy, for example, if for us to, you know, side with the government, but we know what we are standing to gain. We are in favor of building young people. For example, you may have seen over time, or it's even in the media, it's out there, we don't have young people in the corridors of leadership in Nigeria, for example. A lot of them are so grown. We are doing this in a way of preparing people to be aware, to be responsible, to take on leadership positions. You know, we're looking forward to a situation where 5 years down the line, somebody as a NIGAC fellow is coming out to vie in for like a governorship position or for like a local chairman position and all, because it's about bringing this information easily to these people and for them making a choice to be leaders. We can't just all sit down, rant and complain, you know. It's about preparing them with that right mindset, you know, so that there can be a consciousness on how they can start building a better Nigeria by taking responsibility and being the leaders. Because we are actually tired of, you know, how the world perceives Nigerians. We are lovely people, but, you know, a lot of things needs to be changed, and, you know, it starts from us.
Yes, and that's exactly where we started with that quote that I was mentioning. Instead of being part of the solution instead of being part of the problem, because in this industry that we talked about a lot in InfoSec, many times we point the finger at what is wrong, and not that many people want to try to fix it, because you know, if it's broken, it still work. I'm sure marketing in this industry is ahead of me right now, but I don't care. Tim, let's look a little bit at the future. As we start wrapping this conversation, all you're doing, I think, is extremely inspirational. And I hope that you lead the way, you lead the example for, again, other country to do exactly the same. Being apolitical, not taking sides in the policymaking arena, and also bring in the new generation. So what are your plan for the near future? What's on your radar to make this organization even more effective?
Okay, thank you for that question. Yes, I'll build up from that with what Amanda said. I think the future is technology, and that's one angle that the NIGAC is based on. Using technology to reach out properly to Nigerians. I dare say that the NIGAC is Nigeria's first tech-based, you know, digital, you know, think tank policy, you know, policy platform. So I think that's something novel that we are doing. So we're trying to maximize technology. There's an essay written by one C.P. Snow in 1959, which stands out to me, titled The Two Cultures, where he lists out technology and policy as two different worlds, two different cultures. You know, but there has to be a nexus between technology and public policy, you know, and that's the future for NIGAC. That's what NIGAC wants to do, to maximize technology, to properly harness the beauties and the dynamism of technology, to be able to make for social good, to make for social change, you know, to Nigerians, so that Nigerians can, you know, have a better life and enjoy the best there is to Nigeria. I think that for NIGAC, the future would be a position where Nigerians get the very basic necessities. There's security in the land, there's food security, there's national security, where education works for all right? Where there's more stable health care, you know, where our inflation rates are dropping, you know, a system where every Nigerian feels proud, not just to be called a Nigerian, but to live in Nigeria. You know, the case where there's serious brain drain of many Nigerians looking for so-called greener pastures in other places. And NIGAC would love a situation where Nigerians would love to remain in Nigeria and also attract foreigners to come and live in Nigeria because of how beautiful Nigeria has become. You know, so that I think for me is a future where NIGAC is going. And as we go along the way, like I said, we're just about 1 year in existence. As we go along the way, we'll learn from our mistakes, we'll seek more partnerships, we'll seek better outcomes to every action we take and see how we can, you know, make everything work out fine in the end.
That's phenomenal. Very well put, Tim. And I think we all have an opportunity here to examine the good work that you and your ambassadors and fellows are doing. Tech for social good. It's all about us as humans. And if we forget that and just let the tech lead the way, we might end up someplace we don't want. And I applaud you both for the work you're doing to give a voice, to help bring the next generation in, and to be bipartisan in how we define and leverage policy to help drive us forward. So Amanda and Tim, I'd like to thank you for sharing the story of the council and all the work that you're doing there. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, sorry about that. I would also like to thank Sean and Marco for being so patient with us in learning about the Nigerian system. I'm sure that a lot of things that we shared are new to you, but you know, it's a good thing that you have a better perspective of where we are going, why we are loving people, for example, and you know, and looking forward to, you know, seeing that all this that we have enlisted is going to be accomplished in the nearest future. So thank you so much, Marco and Sean.
RSA Security offers business-driven security solutions that provide organizations with a unified approach to managing digital risk that hinges on integrated visibility, automated insights, and coordinated actions. Learn more at rsa.com. Black Cloak provides concierge cybersecurity protection to corporate executives and high net worth individuals to protect against hacking, reputational loss, financial loss, and the impacts of a corporate data breach. Learn more at blackcloak.io.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share ITSBmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.